Friends, if you have encountered Jesus Christ in a personal way, then you may have an idea where we're going in this series, talking about encounters. You see, through the scripture stories in the Bible, you see lots of people who met Jesus, people who knew Jesus, people who knew about Jesus, people who were hearing stories about Jesus. But then you also see these other accounts through the scriptures. You see people who actually encountered Jesus. And it's a very different thing when we talk about knowing who Jesus is and we talk about encountering Jesus. A very, very different thing. You see, you can know about Jesus and stay exactly the way that you are. But once you've encountered Jesus, then watch out, because he's going to begin to do a transformation in your life. So in these weeks leading up to Easter, what we're doing is we're looking at some of these encounter stories, these transformation stories of real life people that are regular old people like you and me, with hassles, hang-ups, and hardships and habits. The same kind of things we have, regular people who are having real life stories with a very real Jesus and having a real encounter with him. One thing that you're going to notice is a little bit different today. If you use the message outline, you'll notice that the message outline looks different. You just have a list of questions there. And let me explain to you how you're supposed to use that today. If you would find that in your bulletin so you can see it. What I want you to do with this list of questions is, as we go through the message, I'm going to be answering each of these questions. They should be pretty obvious, and you should be able to follow with the questions. I just want you to write in there some thoughts that come to your mind that you think fit with those questions as we're going through them and as I'm answering it today. If you understand what I'm asking you to do, raise your hand. Okay, everybody's got it just about, except for a couple in the back. They're still a little confused. Some people's like, I'm not going to raise my hand. You can't make me raise my hand. Let's have a prayer and we'll get started this morning. God, I am so excited about you and about people who've encountered you and about my own encounter with you. I am a different person today because I encountered the living Jesus that changed my life forever, that set it on a new course, that started a transformation that's still happening in my life. And God, I know that this room is filled with people who've encountered you. We just want to hear from you today. Speak to us where we need to hear it. Give us water where we're thirsty. Open our hearts that we hear you today and feel your challenge. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. When you came in today, you should have been given a bottle of water. Everybody get a bottle of water? You were given some instructions not to drink that. Did all of you listen to those instructions? Again, some people are like, you tell me I'm not going to drink it, I'm going to drink that thing. Don't tell me what to do. But you got a bottle of water there, and you said you get some instructions a little bit further, and they are coming. But doesn't just seeing that bottle of water make you kind of thirsty? Doesn't having a bottle of water, being told you can't drink it, kind of, I'm thirsty, I want something to drink. Can you kind of feel the dryness in your mouth? Kind of feel that dryness kind of in the back of your throat? I mean, don't you feel kind of, you know what, I'm going to have a drink. This is from a different source, so I can drink this one, but. Man, wait, one more. That just really does the trick, you know? Here's the thing, friends. I want you to feel thirsty today. As we get ready to talk about this encounter, I want you to have that sense of wanting something to drink. So this is on purpose. This is actually planned. I'm not actually just trying to tell you not to do something just to have some sort of power control. I want you not to drink because I want you to feel thirst. So I want you to hold on to that water, but don't drink it. Wait for instructions. They're going to come a little bit later in the service. But before we get into this encounter, we're going to talk about, let's talk about the water you have for a minute. Hold that bottle and just kind of look at that water as I share with you some facts about water, about why it's so important. Water is such an incredible and powerful substance in our world. Did you know that water covers 71% of the earth? That means that water is covering more of the surfaces of the earth than land is. and much more, actually, and that's pretty crazy if you think about it. Water appears mostly in oceans and polar caps, but it's also present in the clouds and in the rainwater and in rivers and freshwater, underground sources, lakes, airborne vapors, and even in sea ice. Water also makes up two-thirds of your body. Two-thirds of the human body. It's an essential nutrient that's involved in every function of your body. Water must be continually replaced, since on an average, we use 250 milliliters of water as lost from our body just by breathing every day. I want you to do a favor and take a deep breath with me on the count of three. You ready? Not yet. On the count of three. One, two, three. There went several milliliters right there. If you're one of those people that don't like to drink water, you cannot drink as much. Just stop breathing, and you won't have to drink nearly as much water, although I don't really recommend that. We're told by doctors that we should be drinking an adequate amount of water each day. We're supposed to drink 8 glasses of water. That's 2 liters of water a day to assure that our bodies have all that we need to maintain good health. However, most of us don't drink enough water. And here are some classic signs, classic symptoms of not drinking enough water. Headaches. Poor concentration is another symptom. Tiredness. Poor concentration is another symptom. Increased risks of kidney disease. Poor concentration is another one. Constipation. Who wants that? And poor concentration. Did I say that one? I guess I'm not getting enough water. I better take another drink. Not enough concentration for me. Friends, this little bottle of water that you're holding in your hand represents pretty significant substance in our world today, in our life today. You know what's interesting is after the service, someone told me, they said, you forgot something really important. He said that water constantly is eternal. It's always recycling itself. And so the breath that we take could be from the same breath that Jesus took. Isn't that a neat thought? That's a really, really pretty deep thought. Water is also pretty significant in the Bible. We see several places. When we read about the creation account in Genesis chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we see that God created water on earth before he even made the lands. God used water to flood the earth when humankind had become evil. There's a movie out about it right now called Noah. I don't think it's very adequate or accurate, but it's out there with Russell Crowe. God split the water of the Red Sea so that the Israelites could and Moses could walk through on dry land, dry ground. Moses and the Israelites, when they were thirsting and God was leading them through the desert, he gave them water by having Moses strike a rock with a stick and water flowed from it so that they could drink. In Jesus' time, Jesus' first miracle, he turned water into wine. John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the waters of the Jordan. When Jesus healed the blind man, he put mud on his eyes and then he washed it away with water. Jesus used water to wash the disciples' feet, to set that tremendous example of servanthood for us. After Jesus had died on the cross, the Roman soldier thrust a spear into his side and blood and water poured out to the ground. Water is very significant through Scripture, and it's also very significant in the story that we're focusing on today. Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. You can find that story in John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30, and in verse 39. I'm not going to read that entire text to us today. Instead, I want to tell you the story, to focus on what we're talking about today. But I encourage you this week to go home and read that story in your Bibles for yourself so you can see it in that kind of detail that the Scripture brings. Let me set the stage for us on this story. Jesus and his disciples have been spending time doing ministry down in Judea, and that was in the southern region of Israel. They're now on their way traveling back to Galilee, which is in the northern region. And John tells us in his recording of this account that they had to go through Samaria on that travel. And while they were in Samaria, they went to a town there that was called Sychar. And in Sychar, there was a well. Since they were traveling in the heat of the day at about noon, the hottest part of the day, and since Jesus was tired, the sun was hot, the ground was hot, his back was hot, his sandals were hot, his feet were hot, Jesus decided to rest by the coolness of the well. We don't know where his disciples are at this point. They take off somewhere. Maybe they make a run for the border to Taco Bell, or better yet, maybe they go to Casa Fiesta for lunch or something. We don't know where they are. But they're not there. All we know is that Jesus is there at the well alone, but he's not alone for long. While Jesus was sitting by the well, a woman came out to draw water from that well. We don't know her name, but we do know about her reputation. The story shares some specific details about this woman's life and what happens to her through this encounter that she has with Jesus while she's there with him. This encounter is stimulated by a substance that we've already spent time talking about today, by some water. First, let me draw attention, though, to some of the barriers that existed in that time, in that place, in that space, and in that culture that Jesus just blew away, that he overcame. The first was just traveling through Samaria. Friends, for the Jews in this society, traveling through Samaria was taboo. Jews just did not travel through Samaria. There was a racial barrier between the Jews and the Samaritans that said they didn't associate with one another. Now, if you were going to sit down and look at a map and you were planning a trip for Jesus to travel from Judea to Galilee, you would say, well, of course they went through Samaria. It's a straight line. It's smack dab in the middle of the journey. Of course they went that way. If you were to pull out your iPhone and bring up Siri or whatever phone you have, whatever map app you have, or go to Google Map and you were going to see what the best way is from Judea to Galilee, you would say go straight through Samaria. Be the first course, the first option that your app would give you to take. So it makes all kinds of sense. But friends, even that being the case, Jews would go around Samaria. It would be like if you were in Tiffin and you wanted to go to Fremont, but you wanted to skip Old Fort on 53. So you travel first over to Fostoria, and then you hit 12, and then you head from there to Fremont. That'd be pretty crazy, wouldn't it? That's the crazy kind of stuff that they would do. They'd spend extra time. They'd walk extra miles. They'd wade through the Jordan River twice and do whatever they had to do just not to go through Samaria, because they had this long-standing tradition of bigotry, anger, and bitterness toward the Samaritans. Jesus was saying, I'm going to break this barrier. I'm going to break this. I'm not going to play these silly little cultural games with you. Jesus broke that barrier and that tradition by saying, we're going straight through Samaria. And not only does he go straight through, but he stops there. He stops there for a visit. The second major barrier that Jesus breaks in this is speaking to a woman. Now, what's the problem with Jesus speaking to a woman? Well, first, she's a woman. Second, they're alone together in public, in a public place. And third, she's a Samaritan. And simply put, friends, in that culture, men didn't speak to women in public. For one, they believed that women who didn't have the same value as men. And for two, they wanted to remain pure. And you know what? They just believed girls had cooties. That's kind of the way of putting it. Boys were made of sugar and spice and everything nice, and girls were made of frogs and snails and puppy dog tails and that kind of stuff. They had cooties, right? I'm just kidding, but that's kind of what it was like. They believed that women, particularly being with women alone in public, could lead to impurity. And that's kind of the same as having cooties, I think, a little bit. I know that this sounds kind of bizarre to us, but they believed this stuff, and they lived by this stuff. There was a religious sect in that time called the Bleeding Pharisees, and they were intent on keeping their minds from lustful thoughts, so when they would go out into public, they would cover their eyes with a blindfold so they wouldn't see women, so they couldn't even have a hint of lustful thoughts to enter their minds. They got the name Bleeding Pharisees because it would bump up against things and often find themselves bleeding. Isn't that crazy? I kind of thought we'd start a new men's purity group here at Old Fort. If you want to join this group, what I want you to do is meet Mike back in his office after the service. He's going to hand out the blindfolds, and you might want a designated driver to get home today so you can be safe. pretty crazy, but that's what they believed. Then, of course, not only did Jesus speak to a woman and do it in a public place, but he was speaking to a woman who was a Samaritan. And we already talked about what Jews thought about Samaritans. Jews didn't speak to the Samaritans. This was double cooties for this girl. So Jesus, he tore down the barriers in this story. He broke cultural customs because of doing what was right. Now, let's get back to what happens in the story. The Samaritan woman is coming to the well because she wants to draw water. That's a perfectly normal concept, right? Well, not exactly. You see, there are some odd things about her choices to go draw water that day. For one thing, she went to a well that was a considerable distance from her home when there was another one that was much nearer by. And the second odd thing is she goes out at midday, the hottest part of the day. That was really out of the ordinary for them. Most women picked the coolness of the morning to draw their water. They would go out before the sun got hot because even a trip to the nearest well and that scorching sun would be overwhelming. This woman, however, is out by herself in the blazing sun, the hottest time of the day, retrieving water from a well that's not even near her house. And after making that grueling trip, you better believe that she was thirsty. Not just for the water she was taking about back with her, but you better believe that the first scoop of water coming out of that well was going to go directly to her mouth. Because she would have been thirsty after that trip out to that well. However, you know what? Her physical thirst is nothing compared to the spiritual thirst that she had going on deep down inside. So why did this woman choose this faraway well at the hottest part of the day? The answer is really quite simple, friends. She doesn't want to be seen. She doesn't want to be seen. Maybe you can relate to that feeling just a little bit at some point in your life. You ever have a time in your life, maybe as a kid or maybe even as an adult, where you got your hand caught in the cookie jar? You got your hand caught in the cookie jar and now you're embarrassed by that. And you have to go out somewhere around people that know what you did. So you want to be as careful as you can. You want to slip in as quietly as you can and get out as quick as you can and get home because you're embarrassed and you want to be as noticed by as little people as possible. Can you relate to that feeling at all? I remember when our kids were reaching the age of being potty trained. And I won't mention any names because I don't want to embarrass anybody. We'll protect the innocent here, but it was more than one of them. They'd do this funny thing when they had to dirty their diaper. They would just kind of disappear off somewhere. We didn't know where they were at, and then we would finally realize they were gone, and you would see them hidden like under the table or behind a chair or back somewhere in the corner, and we knew what they were doing. We knew what was going on. You see, they had gotten to that age, to that point where they realized it was no longer acceptable for them to do their business in a diaper like that anymore. They knew that they were supposed to be learning to potty train, and they were embarrassed by what they were doing. Well, friends, sometimes, I don't know how else to put this, but sometimes as adults, we've dirtied our diapers one too many times. And you know what? We go into hiding. We don't want anybody to know what's going on because we're embarrassed and we don't quite know how to clean things up for ourselves. We don't want to be around others because we're afraid they won't accept us. We're afraid that God won't even accept us. And so when we go out, we kind of do it in hiding. We kind of skirt through the shadows so that nobody else will notice. That's what's happening with this woman. That's what's happening in this story. This woman who came down to draw water at this faraway well in the hottest part of the day had no desire to see the looks of other people in town. She didn't want to hear their sneers. She didn't want to see how they gave looks at her. She didn't want to hear their whispers. Yet she was thirsty. She was a thirsty person who needed water, so she picked the hottest part of the day and went to the well where she'd most likely see the least people, the farthest away she could, to draw water so she could quickly get back to her location without being noticed. Now, why would she feel like this about the people around us? Why would they be so callous about her? It was because of her lifestyle. Today in our society, lifestyle doesn't matter as much. people can have pretty vulgar lifestyles and they barely get an eye batted at them, but in this day it mattered. She was a woman with a distinct reputation. She was well known for her immorality. And even today, who wants to be known for that? Who wants to be known for getting around? This woman was known for getting around a lot. When she picked up that water jar, she flung it over her shoulder and she headed to that well that was far away on that day. She had no idea what she was about to encounter. She thought she was only going to be coming to draw water for her physical thirst and get back as quickly as possible. She had no idea, friends, that she was about to encounter Jesus. And that there was a deeper quenching in her spirit that needed to be satisfied. And that when she had this encounter with Jesus, she would never be thirsty again. She had no idea, friends, that her life was about to be transformed. Do you know what I like the most? Do you know what it's like to be transformed by Jesus? Have you experienced that? You see, Jesus loves us so much. He loves us exactly the way we are, dirty diapers and all. But he also loves us too much to leave us in our dirty diapers. He wants to do a transformation in our life. He desires to transform our lives, to quench that thirst that's within us, to make us fresh and to make us new. This woman had no idea that she was about to meet a man who would tell her everything that there was to know about herself. I mean, sure, everybody in town knew her reputation. They shared the rumors, but this man she never met in her life would come and tell her the details, the nitty-gritty parts, and it opened her heart wide to be willing to listen to him and to receive him. He knew the man that she was currently living with wasn't her husband. He knew that before this man, there was a husband, and before him another, and before him another, and before him another, and before him another. That's five if you're not keeping count. Yet this man who knew everything that she had done, everything that she was trying to hide, the very things that she was avoiding the people about, the very things that were keeping her in the shadows, this man, he wasn't mocking her. He wasn't sneering about her. He wasn't whispering about her. He knew it all. Yet he knew something even more. He knew that there was a thirst that rests deep down inside of her that mere water wouldn't satisfy. He knew that she couldn't draw any water from that well that was going to quench the real thirst that she had of this parched, dry spirit. But he had a water to offer her that was exactly what she needed. The water he had would make her fresh and make her new. Jesus says this to the woman in John chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water," speaking of the well, "will be thirsty again. But listen to this, but whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst." Will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He wanted to come into her life and transform her. And friends, that's exactly what happened to this woman. This woman was transformed. How do we know? Well, that's my favorite part of the story. We know because this woman was changed because she was transformed because of how she responds. She drops her water. She doesn't need it anymore. Her thirst has been quenched. She drops her water jar and she runs back. She beats back to that town as fast as she can. She heads out, and this time not trying to be unnoticed, but wanting to be noticed. Not going in, hiding away, and running through the shadows. Now she comes into the town like Paul Revere shouting, "The British are coming! The British are coming!" Getting everyone's attention she can, she cries out, she proclaims, "Come see a man who told me everything there is to know about myself." Could this be the Christ? And at this point, the people made their way out of the town to see Jesus. You know, though, friends, you know, it's at this point in the story that I kind of begin to have some questions. Why would these people have listened to this woman? I mean, really, she didn't carry an ounce of credibility or influence at all. And why would they be amazed that someone could tell her everything there was to know about herself? They could all do that, at least their version of it. What is it about this woman's testimony that would make them say, hey, let's stop and listen to her? Even more, what about it would make them say, hey, we believe what's happened to her. Let's go out and see him for ourselves. I believe the reason that this woman was so convincing is because they could see a change in her. They could see the change that just happened to her spirit. I believe they saw the transformation. Have you ever been with someone who's just had an amazing encounter with God? And you can see it on them, maybe on a walk to Emmaus weekend. Maybe coming back from a Haiti mission trip or someplace else, or some sort of experience they had with God, and you can just see it all over them. And you kind of see them and you think, wow, I don't know what's going on with them, but I want a piece of whatever they got. Because there's something special happening in them. You know they got something and you want some of it. The only reason that the woman was able to come to them and be heard by them was because she'd experienced this miraculous cleansing. Friends, she wasn't the same person they had known. She wasn't the same person who had gone to that well. She'd come to the well thirsty. They were used to seeing her all dried up, this parched little spirit who snuck around in the shadows of town, but now they're seeing something different. Do you know what? She's not thirsty anymore. Now she's dripping in the presence of living water. And they see something different that's washed over her, so they want to hear what she has to say. There's an account in the Old Testament when Moses would go to the mountain to meet with God, and he would come back down to the people. It said that his face would radiate with the presence of God so much that he had to put a veil over his face because it was too overwhelming for them. I believe that this woman came back into this town, and she just has the radiance of God all over her from this encounter that she's just had. So much to the point that one person would say, what happened to her? And another person would say, I don't know. She went off to draw water from the well, and she came back like that. To which another person says, well, I want some of the water she's got. What well did she go to? Friends, the woman at the well was transformed from one who was avoiding the truth to one who's now out proclaiming the truth. Let me tell you about a man that told me about all the messiness in my life. Let me tell you my story. Which leads us to the most beautiful part of this whole story. In verse 39, it says, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him, Jesus, because of this woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. What? Her testimony? They believed her testimony? This woman with the five husbands and the current live-in? Her testimony? The woman who had some serious dirty diapers going on? How could these people believe her testimony? Yes. Her testimony. And what does that tell you about you and me? Friends, no matter how dirty you might feel that some of your choices in life have left you, once you've been cleansed by the living water of Jesus Christ, you can impact the world for him. Friends, she came to the well thirsty. She left the well with her thirst quenched, and she went back bringing living water, the living water she experienced through that encounter, with every person she could find, every person who would listen, with her transformation. Listen, if you've drank of the living water of Jesus Christ, if you've experienced Christ's forgiveness for your sins and it's changed your life, then you too have a transformation story, your encounter story with Jesus. And friends, if you'll share that story with others, it's going to become living water to thirsty people all over this region. People can argue with you all they want about your theology. They can argue with you about what the Bible says and whether that's real or not. They can argue about your beliefs, but you know what? They can't argue with your encounter, with your experience with Jesus, because it's your experience and you were there and nobody can tell you that didn't happen. And when you believe you bring your encounter to others, people realize, wow, maybe even with my dirtiness, I can encounter this living water, this Jesus as well. When you came in this morning, you were given a bottle of water. Told you'd be given some instructions later in the service. Well, here come the instructions. Friends, if you've been transformed through Jesus Christ, through the living water of Jesus Christ, if your thirst has been quenched by the living water of Jesus, then I want to tell you something. This bottle of water is not for you. This bottle of water is for you to take to some other thirsty people in your life. People who you know are thirsting for Jesus, but they don't quite have him yet. And I want you to take that bottle of water to them. And I want you to give it to them and say something like, I want to give you this water to help quench your thirst. And if you're willing, I'd like to share with you about an encounter I had of a living water that can quench the deeper thirst in your life of your spirit. And if they're open to that, share your story. Share your encounter with them. This water isn't yours. It's for you to give away to somebody else who's thirsty. Now, if you're here this morning and you're standing, you know, you didn't realize you're still thirsty. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've come here for years, but you know that you're still thirsty. For whatever reason, you've not encountered Jesus like this yet. And that thirsting is still in your soul, and you know that you still need to receive it. You say, Mark, I want some of what you're talking about. I want that kind of a transformation. I'm tired of hiding in the corners and behind facades and trying to cover up my own messes. My soul is thirsty for living water. If that's you, friends, then this bottle of water is yours. You keep it. And you take it, and you open it up, and you drink it, and you use it as a symbol of inviting the living water of Jesus into your own heart and life. And ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, to quench that deeper thirst that's there, and to lead your life forever. Now, you might want to go home and chill this a little bit first before you drink it. Stick it in the refrigerator and do that on your own. But you know what? It just may be that there are some people here that say, I'm just too thirsty to wait. I can't wait till I get home. I got to rip the top off of that thing right now. And I encourage you, as I pray, as we sing our closing song, that you just open that bottle, you just drink it in, and you invite Jesus into your heart to transform you. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you care so much about us, about the dry conditions of our soul. Many of us go through life, we try all kinds of things to try to quench that deeper thirst. We try to hide it with other things. We may try success. We may try owning more things. We may try even going to church all the time. We might try being a good person or a moral person, all those things, and we may try doing things. If we do enough things, maybe it'll quench that deeper thirst that's inside me. And it does, but it's only temporary and it goes away. Because maybe we've not truly asked Jesus to be our living water, to quench that deeper thirst forever. Jesus says, the water I bring will leave you never thirsting again. And if there are any thirsty souls here today, even if it's just because we've had you but we've walked away, or maybe it's a brand new thing, any thirsting souls, I just pray today that we would surrender to you. We just crack open this bottle of water. We take a big old swig out and say to you, Jesus, come fill me. Forgive me and fill me with your living water. And you take my life from here on, because I don't want to be thirsty anymore. Thank you, Jesus, for living water. In your name we pray, amen. Friends, can anybody tell me why we're planning on building a church? Amen. We're building a watering station. We're building a water tower. We're not building a church facility. We're building a place that can bring, delve out, that can give out living water to a region of people who are thirsty. North, south, east, and west. Amen. Let that come out of your pores. If you have the living water in you, then make sure you're spilling it out to others, because that's why you have it, so that others can know Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go in the name of Jesus.